So I was trying to get it to a size where it could succeed. In other words, it was not carrying routes that didn't have any people on it or had far more crew than people. We basically aimed at trying to get it to carry two bus loads on a train. In other words, we were aiming at 145 people and trying to get the political trains and the non-economic trains off of it so that it was not burdened by those. I think the Congress bought most of that. I think they will continue to, because the system now provides that in 2 years, if a route is not coming close to getting half of its money back, then that route can be dropped. I think the Congress did it well. They didn't do it as far as we want. Our solution was more idealized, but I think Congress has finally faced the basic issue that Amtrak must have some market connection. And if they build the Northeast Corridor well, and I hope they will, then you will see that make money. The first time you begin to have a system make money, then people will begin to ride on it, and you begin to get a building of better service. And I don't think the object of rail traffic is to make money. The object of rail traffic is to carry in the areas where people really want to ride it. The surge after the automobile will taper off again. But what you're looking at is a rational service, not just one that goes up and down with gasoline. Our proposal was a grid. It was the most limited national grid we could get. One up and down the coast, and one up and down the middle of the country, and one across the top, and one across the bottom, so that you had the whole country covered. But you were not trying to say to people who are in the area between Chicago and the West Coast, and I've ridden that train many times, both as a kid and later, that we're going to go through your town at an appropriate hour. That takes 3 days and two nights, or 3 nights and 2 days to go to the coast. And there isn't any way you can start a train out of Chicago and not go through somebody's hometown in the middle of the morning. That's just a fact of life. So that's its future. It will work. We will keep it. But it is, we aren't going back to the trains of the 1920s, and neither are the Europeans.
Before I ask the last question, I want to present you with yet another certificate of appreciation for being here. You've gotten them before, and a promise that you have a National Press Club windbreaker coming out of this. And for some reason, it's not sitting here, but I'll get it for you. The last question, and perhaps the proper last question for a day in which we're honoring consumer reporters, is: why is it that the press, with limited resources, does so much more in areas such as tire safety than the government with almost unlimited resources?
First, the government is always incredibly careful, and that takes an awful lot of time. In other words, I don't think I ever received a consumer investigative report that didn't have at least three options in it. So you have a lot of people checking out both sides. You can plunge more easily and should do so. Second, the government, when it operates, is a blunt instrument. In other words, we operate with very blunt rules, and our investigative procedures are often so long that when the hearing comes up, everybody forgets what the original issue was. So government will never substitute for consumer awareness, consumer complaint, investigative reporting. The government can be needled into action and can focus by particular excellent investigative reporting, and you have seen will do so. But the sheer volume of what occurs in the marketplace every day in the United States is beyond the resources of the government to always know about it. There are 110 million automobiles that operate on the road. They rotate over at 10 million per year, basically. The NHTSA operation in government has 500 people. It is, when you take the number of tires there are in the country, and the number of people using them, and the number of people that may be complaining about a particular tire, you get some idea of how astronomical this gets. Our people do look, and they do try, but always remember, they will be operating with a huge volume, like looking for a needle in a haystack. When it is focused, as you can focus it, then good people will move on it. So there is no substitute for what you're doing, and there never will be. As hard as Mike works, as many times as Esther says things, as many times as Joan investigates, as many times as the secretary screams, we cannot possibly substitute for people that are in the marketplace working with it every day who come forth and say, you missed. And don't ever worry about good people in government being embarrassed. We just grit our teeth and go do it. Thank you.